The Mike Missinelli Show.
Hey, y'all. Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly with Hades, the wide clef. I'm man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Mike Missinelli Show. Football Monday, Dallas Monday, Monday Night Football. That's right, the Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys. And we're going to talk about it. We're going to get into it. There's this other issue that's hovering out there that we have to touch on, obviously. And I'm wondering if it's a violation that we talk about that issue on an Eagle-Dallas night. Is it a violation?
It is not.
It's not a violation. We must talk about the continuing Ben Simmons saga. But let's first talk about the Eagles. I'll tell you right out of the chute, I believe they can win tonight. I believe they will win the game tonight. I didn't think that last week. But the more I'm thinking about it, the more I'm looking at Dallas being depleted. About six starters aren't going to be there. Yeah, Amari Cooper's going to play, but not at full strength. The right side of their offensive line, a little weak right now without Collins. Their defensive line, they're all banged up, although they did get a pass rusher back in Randy Gregory, and that may test Andre Dillard on that side. It's like a lone worry that I have. But I feel that the Dallas Cowboys are weakened. They're in a weakened state tonight. And even though the game is down there and there's going to be this big fanfare for Dak Prescott to play well, I believe somehow the Eagles are going to find to get some pressure on Dak Prescott and finally get a turnover. And that turnover is going to be really key to what the Eagles do tonight. I see a lot of points being put on the board. I see like a 24-20 Eagle victory. So right out of the chute, that's what I like. I'm good with it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. I think the Eagles win by a field goal. So similar thing, maybe 27-24, 24-21. So I'm in the same range as you. Mm-hmm. But it's screaming. The line also.
It's going down.
Down to three. Down to three. It keeps coming down.
It does. And listen, you can't discount the fact the guys are missing. It's one thing that you'd be able to fill in one guy. But you got a lot of guys missing like Dallas. That's a discombobulated situation. So that, I think, gives the Eagles the edge in this game. And hopefully they can fashion enough of a passing game plan that's effective. You know, his completion rate has been down from even last year. He has been reluctant to throw the ball in the middle of the field, whether they're protecting him from that or he's just not comfortable doing it. But I think you're gonna have to get some slant plays in the middle of the field to your receivers who are fast. And I think that's the key to the game.
Yeah, and also to help with that, it turns out Ertz may have had a situation like the ladies on The View because he quickly got out of protocol. And it's available. So if the scene with Goddard and Ertz, those are your most reliable at this point guys. Nothing against Devontae. I'm saying we haven't seen a lot. He has two guys who he knows he can get the ball to in the middle of the field. I hope that this tonight is the night that they actually do it with the two most reliable guys, and I think that'll open it up for the outside guys.
Yes. All right, so we're going to talk about this, and all day we're going to do final score, play the game. We always do that on game days here, and we'll do that for this one. If you got a prediction and a player of the game, or play of the game that you think is going to be the difference in this game as the Eagles play in Dallas tonight. All right, so let's touch on the Phillies. They get shut out on a Sunday. I guess it was too much to expect that they would sweep that lousy team, but they wound up not scoring a run against the Pirates on the final home game for the regular season, which is not a good look as you go into Atlanta, but their pitching staff is lined up, just like Atlanta's pitching staff is lined up. So it'll be a Titan battle. Am I optimistic that the Phillies can pull this off? No. At this point, I am not that optimistic they can pull it off, but that doesn't mean it can't happen either.
Yes, it's likely over, but it's not over. The reason it's likely over, in my opinion, with that loss yesterday was I thought there could be a chance where if they swept the Braves, they could follow it and win 2 of 3 against the Marlins.
Mm-hmm.
The way it works now, with 3 in the loss column, and you're trying to force the Braves to have to make up a game, possibly, I think, and they're 2.5 back, 3 in the loss column, I think they have to win out. I don't think they can go on the road and win out. I thought yesterday's loss was gigantic. I thought 5-1 was realistic. Sweep the Braves because you have to. 2 or 3 against the Marlins, you get in. Losing yesterday, to me, now makes it that way. I think they have to go 6-0, and I think they're going to come up a game short.
All right, so 6 games left. The Braves' magic number is 5.
Mm-hmm.
Combination of their wins and Philly's losses would win the division. So let's just play along here, all right? So, 2 of 3 the Phillies win.
Then it's over.
It's over.
It's over.
Because you're not thinking the Braves could possibly lose that last series.
Right.
Okay.
I think they must sweep. I thought all along that the formula was sweep the Braves because the extra inning game on mm-hmm. Saturday that the Braves came back to win was a killer.
Yeah.
That was the Velasquez game. Mm-hmm. That was a killer. They come back and win that game. With the loss yesterday, I think sweep them. I think you're going to have to win out. That's how I think it's going to play out. And
All right. Hey, listen, you're probably right. I can't imagine the Phillies offense at this. They're so erratic from game to game. Can generate enough offense to actually sweep a good team.
Now, maybe the pitching. Now, that this is, we'll get to this later in the week. But Thursday, they have a tough decision. I'm pitching Ranger Suarez, not Gibson, on Thursday if I'm in charge.
Yeah?
Yep. It's regular rest. He just under 100 pitches complete game. Mm-hmm. He's locked in right now. He's been better than Gibson. I do that. So I'm going with Wheeler, Nola, Suarez.
You're waiting to see if they win those first two games.
Nah, either way. Because I'm building for next year.
Oh.
Either way, I want Ranger Suarez is going to be, he has shown enough to where he's deserved an opportunity. And I want him pitching in that spot. I know what Gibson is. He can pitch over the weekend. Mm-hmm. He can pitch Friday. I think that Rangers should be going back on Thursday, whether you try to sweep or not, because you don't know what's going to happen. I think the Braves are going to win their last series. What if they don't? I still need to win Thursday, and I think Suarez at this point gives you the best chance to win the game, regardless of what happens the first two.
All right, so that's on the table. And now we get to Ben Simmons. Meaty day today. He doesn't show up. Obviously, some questions had to be asked. Some questions had to be answered or not. Anthony has Doc Rivers on, and Anthony, they had the meeting, the owner went out, they met with Ben a whole bit, and so Anthony asked a good question, which is, did he communicate to you why he didn't want to be here? And here was Doc's answer to that.
That's a good question. It's a tough answer, because it wasn't as clear as we probably would want it. Wanting to change places for whatever reason. So it's tough to play here. But Ben didn't say that. But, you know, you got to assume that's probably part of it. And I can't say he said that. That's just an assumption.
Okay, so the question was based on he didn't want to face the fans. Is that what the way they were getting to? And that's why he didn't want to come back?
No, Anthony had been talking about throughout the day on his show that he doesn't really fully understand why mm-hmm. Ben Simmons thinks he was wrong so much. Like, even if we think what Doc said was wrong, he's also on the flip side defended mm-hmm. him till he was blue in the face a million times. What's the real reason he wants out? And because Doc Rivers apparently did ask, and the rumor was, oh, he said it was because of what Embiid said and what Doc said. And Doc's clearly saying, that's not what he said to me.
Yeah, Doc said it really wasn't clear.
Why
he wanted
it's
out.
It's clear that he asked to be out. That's confirmed. Maury said that. That's 100%. But now, as far as why, no good answer.
So let's connect this to what Brian Windhorst had to say. Now, if you know the history of Brian Windhorst, he made his bones, mouthing the teat of LeBron James all these years since he was a high schooler. And so you have that kind of history with mm-hmm. LeBron and that whole clutch agency, and they feed him little tidbits. So here's what Brian Windhorst had to say about why Ben doesn't want to be here.
It's not just that he doesn't want to play there anymore. He doesn't want to be in front of those fans. So for him, I don't think he intends to ever show his face there again unless he's part of the visiting team and he's one and out. part of this is just a visceral thing. It's not even like about, I'm unhappy, get me out of here. I think he has instructed his agents, I'm not showing up. I don't want in front of those fans. I've actually wondered if this was a year ago where we were playing in front of fanless venues, or let's say the Sixers were relocated for some reason, like the Raptors were, and they were playing, you know, in Florida instead of Philadelphia. He might have shown up. I honestly think, based on the kind of things we've seen from him in the past, I think he just does not want to play in front of those fans. And that's a factor here. So I don't even think showing up and playing half speed is even on the menu of options. I think he has instructed everybody, I'm not going. Now, making an edict in September doesn't necessarily mean that that edict exists in November. And that's what we'll maybe see. But from what I am explained to and told right now, that edict is pretty strong.
Well, guess what? Ben's right. Ben's right to not want to play in front of these fans because he knows he's going to be judged for what he didn't do. Now, the part that's missing in that little soliloquy by Brian Windhorst is he created the acrimony that he would now face if he came back. And he did that by bailing out on the team in the playoffs and bailing out on the city in the playoffs. So when we're talking about personal responsibility, don't just throw this on the fans. You lit the match for how the fans would judge you when you come back. The solution to that is you man up. You go and work on your game. You get a sports psychologist. You show people that you're being misjudged. But that dude is too much of a coward to do that. So the narrative cow will come out. Oh, my God. Here we go. The fans chased him out of the city. When these fans had his back for 3 freaking years. 3 years, stood in unity in a standing ovation to show him support when he went to the foul line in a big spot. Yeah, you caused the final nail to be put in your coffin. And so we're never going to forget that part of it, okay? You can have your own damn narrative and play to Brian Windhorst's all you want, but we know what the real story is. Here's how you get in today. 610-632-0975. Football Monday. We'll have Brian Westbrook joining us a little later. We'll have the Hembo stats at 3 o'clock. And your predictions. Final score, play the game. You get close, you're going to win something. It's the Mike Missinelli Show.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Tyrone, the music, please.
Yes.
Oh, there he is, ladies and gentlemen. From ESPN, Paul Hembokidis, the great Hembo joins us. Hello, Hembo.
Oh, Mike Missinelli, this is a good day to be an Eagle fan. I was working on the Greeny radio show today. We have a board op in Bristol who is rocking a Dak Prescott jersey. So every time they showed him on TV, like my blood boiled a little bit. I forgot just how much I hated those guys. And given all that hype now through 2 games, I mean, they practically won the Super Bowl. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch the Eagles billy club them down in Dallas.
Whoa, you're predicting a billy clubbing.
I'll get to my pick at the end.
All right. You're picking the end. Let's do a little progression towards that selection.
Fair enough.
By your statistical analysis, now, what happened in game one for the Eagles is that, you know, they had a really balanced attack. Game two, they tried to throw the ball down the field. Your advice would be to follow the throw the ball down the field game plan for this one.
Yes, believe it or not, I would opt for game plan two, not game plan one. And that's based upon the matchup. Here's what I mean. The 3 words of advice I would have for Jalen Hurts would be, let it rip, Mike Missinelli. We're dealing with small samples here, obviously, just through 2 games. But so far, this Dallas defense has legitimately been the NFL's worst at defending the downfield shot. Opponents are 10 of 13 for nearly 20 yards per pass attempt on vertical routes. We know Dallas likes to play man, which means they have to rely on their corners. I'm of the belief, and the numbers back this up, at least so far, the Dallas secondary, at least on the edges, outside the numbers, they can be had. So I think what you should see tonight, at least, is one shot per quarter from Nick Sirianni so Jalen Hurts can drive the ball down the field. I'm fine if they want to sort of game plan underneath the way that they did against Atlanta, but not at the expense of a couple shots. In order to beat Dallas tonight, I think the Eagles are going to probably have to create three or four explosive plays through the air.
So we're talking about Devontae Smith and Jalen Reagor down the field, bomb central.
I see that as a good option. Believe it or not, the Dallas linebackers have played fairly well in coverage this year between the numbers. There's an opportunity for Jalen Hurts here. And look, with how much man coverage the Eagles, how much man coverage the Cowboys play, we know his ball placement is just not a strength. His completion percentage is about 20% higher this year against zone. We know that's sort of his area of strength. So if you're going to miss some of these layups, you might as well take some shots. We know he has the arm strength, and we know that Dallas has shown itself vulnerable at least through two games on those vertical routes.
Interesting. All right, so now defensively, they'll be without Brandon Graham. They're not a blitzing defense. They at least haven't shown that profile so far, but it's better not to be a blitzing defense against Dallas, right?
Yes, that's exactly right, Mike. And I think the Eagles' sort of standard profile here this year applies to this game very effectively, and I'll tell you why. I think the best approach is going to be just to send four, the standard pass rush and blitz sparingly. Here's why. In their season opener against Tampa, Dak was blitzed 25 times. That was a career high, and he absolutely torched the Buccaneers' blitz. He threw three of his touchdown passes against it. And for the season, that's, again, only two games, but Dak's average pass has traveled about 10.5 yards in the air when he's been blitzed and just under 4 yards against the four-man rush. In other words, when the opponent sends the house, that is when Dak Prescott aims to take his shot. And with Michael Gallup and CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper, they obviously have plenty of weaponry with which to do so. I think it behooves the Eagles today to sort of play as sound as possible, except that sort of, you know, that the underneath stuff, if you will. Because if that's going to average 4 yards in the air, you know, when the Eagles send four, that's a good place to be if you're dealing with linebackers and safeties being able to creep up in space.
That's interesting. So you're saying when he sees people beyond, he's not as good.
That's exactly right. And what I'm also saying is that if you see Dak Prescott chuck the ball down the field tonight, it's probably going to be because he's cute. You're going to see a defensive back blitzing. You're going to see a linebacker blitzing. He knows that at that point he's got to get rid of the ball relatively quickly, but he's going to be dealing with one-on-one down the field. And as we well know, they might have the best 1-2-3 tandem on the outside of any group in the NFL. It behooves the Eagles, again, to play sound in that respect and not give those wide receivers a chance to beat you over the top. I think the Eagles, our best bet tonight is to play, multiple high safeties, keep things underneath. Very similar to sort of the game plan that I laid out last week against the 49ers.
There we go. So throw it down the field and don't blitz. All right, now let's look at ESPN's Football Power Index. You guys at ESPN love those Cowboys in the power rankings. Talk to me here.
So ESPN obviously loves the Cowboys. Even our metrics sort of have a Cowboys flavor to them. Our model, Mikey Miss, has Dallas ranked as the number 11 team in the NFL. They have the Eagles pegged right now as the number 22 team in the NFL. So what does that mean? FBI says the Eagles have a 32% chance to win tonight. 32%, that equates on the gambling scale to a 6.5-point underdog. That's obviously a sort of glass half empty outlook compared to what they're offering in Vegas.
Oh, my. It may change my outlook. No. All right.
That 6.5 number, if I'm just to be honest, that 6.5 number sort of more matches what I've seen from Dallas and Philly so far this year. So that's what the numbers say. But what Vegas says is actually a fairly different tune. And as you and I know,
yes,
this is often a good indicator of what to predict or how to project these things out.
All right. So Vegas has a 3.5-point favorite tonight for the Cowboys. And even at that number, they have not profiled well in a role as that favorite.
That's exactly right. Dating to the 2019 season, just to get a representative sample size, Mike, Dallas has failed to cover 10 of its last 14 games. 10 of its last 14 games has failed to cover when favored when Dak Prescott's been their quarterback. I threw out all the Andy Dalton games last year because that doesn't really apply here. 10 of their last 14, they have failed to cover as a favorite with an average cover margin of -5. For context, that's a really, really unsuccessful number. On average, Dallas is -5 net in terms of covering. And they've lost 8 of those 14 games outright. These aren't situations in which they've been favored by 10 points and they've won by 7. They're 6-8 when favored dating back to 2019. That's obviously nearly a full season worth of games. That's why I think that number, -3, -3.5, depending on your sports book of choice, as you like to say, you can't see me here from my palatial estate in Essex Falls, New Jersey. That is a smelly line. I'm holding my nose as we speak. That is a smelly line, at least from how I
see it. Yeah, it is a smelly line. That's why I like the Eagles tonight. So let's go with the big Hembo selection.
I agree with you. I like the Eagles tonight. Obviously, if you have the opportunity to get the Eagles +3.5, you should climb all over that number. I'm going to eschew my football sense on this one and trust where the money's at. This, to me, is a stinky line. You have the Cowboys are getting all this national love and interest, obviously, being a field goal favorite at home. Obviously, there's all this hype. The Eagles coming off of a loss on the road. This feels like the kind of game that the Cowboys lose outright. I wouldn't feel great about taking the Eagles -3 just because, obviously, Dak and that offense is capable of hanging 30 on anybody. But I'm with you. I'm going to sort of read the Vegas line here and take the Eagles tonight. If you can get them at +3.5, I think that's where the good money is at.
All right. Sounds good. Hembo, always a pleasure, brother.
We'll talk Thursday. You're a good man.
You got it. There he is. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only.
He's not stats you need to know. He's H-E-M-B-O. Hembo.
The Hembo spot.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
He was just bursting at the seams watching his Villanova squad at Penn State this weekend. And I had to pull him back. He wanted to run on the field for the kickoff. He, of course, is the great number 36, Brian Westbrook. He's brought to us by FanDuel Sportsbook. Hello, Brian.
Good afternoon, Mikey. You're right. It is game day. It is game day.
It's a total game day. First of all, fun time this weekend as you watch your squad. It acquitted itself quite well in the big atmosphere. I'm proud of Villanova.
38-17, the big guys held their own. The DBs, man, there's a big-time feat of speed discrepancy between Villanova and Penn State. You guys got some receivers and DBs that can just flat-out run. We don't have enough of those types of players on our team. Obviously.
Yeah, but, they fought hard. I was surprised. They didn't get demoralized, which is a credit to, I think, Mark Ferrante and that coaching staff.
Yeah, Mark Ferrante and his staff certainly deserve some credit, but they played as hard as they could. There's a big-time talent discrepancy. But, Mike, I will tell you this. We walked around that place during the tailgate. We walked around the street the night before. And the people in Penn State absolutely love Mikey Miss. Absolutely. Everywhere. We couldn't get 5 feet. We walked 5 feet, people were stopping you. Walk 5 more feet, people are stopping you. Mikey Miss is a legend.
That's not true, because more people stop you than me. But we'll discuss that another day. I did have the Mikey Miss pizza. I had to show off the Mike Miss pizza, Tyrone.
That's right.
I took it in place. Go weirdos. Yeah. Yes, I was good with it. Had a little mozzarella, had sausage and mushrooms, and a little dabble across of balsamic glaze.
Oh, that's nice.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's
give
nice.
It a little sweetness. Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah.
Anyway, Brian, let's focus on tonight's game, and we just have some stats that would indicate that Dallas could be very susceptible since they man up to the long pass, that the game plan they had against the 49ers might work this time against the Dallas defense. What are you thinking?
Well, the game plan against the 49ers would have worked if you could complete some of those long passes. Quez Watkins had the lone long pass of the day last week. But if you can complete some of those long passes, of course it can work. The question is, can you get the ball up on time if you're Jalen Hurts? Can you anticipate the pass route and the guy being open, get the ball up before it's too late? And then you got to make the play on the other end as far as the receiver. So, yeah, they are susceptible to that. I think we can take advantage of their DBs, but it comes down to execution. It comes down to Jalen Hurts playing a flawless game Also, the receivers getting open and making some plays.
Now, Dallas is a little discombobulated. They're going to be six starters. Mark Cooper's not at full strength. Law Collins is out. Randy Gregory is back, and he's going to be faced up against Dillard. Missing six players, I think, is a big deal.
Well, listen, I think anytime you go into a football game with a team that's not full strength, you got an advantage there. Now, the question for the Eagles is they're not full strength either. They're missing Mayalata, their left tackle. They're missing Brandon Graham. They're missing some key important people that can help this team win a football game. And so neither team are necessarily full strength. And I think you got to almost go back, and this is not in Philadelphia's favor, what team was better, you know, when everybody was at full strength? And, of course, that was the Dallas Cowboys, especially offensively. The quarterback has been playing better. They have a better receiving core, I believe. And they have some pieces that I think have been playing together for a longer period of time than the Philadelphia Eagles. So today, the question has to be answered. How do they respond? Last week, some adversity, didn't win that game at home. How do they respond? This is all about Nick Sirianni and his philosophy and how that relates to this football team. We'll see it later on this evening.
All right. What do they need to do in your eyes to win this game?
You know, consistently on offense, you got to be able to keep yourself in third and manageable situations. That means you got to have some success on first and second down. I have no problem, you know, throwing a 5-yard hitch to Dallas Goedert, throwing a 5-yard hitch to Zach Ertz, opening up that middle. That's going to allow you to get the ball to the outside. So if we're able to get to the middle of the field, like we've all been talking about, throwing the ball inside of the hashes throughout the night, I think we can have some success. The other part is when you talk about Dallas playing man to man, can Jalen Hurts, similar to what he did last week, can he scramble successfully and get us in an additional set of downs? Can he get the first down if he scrambles and they decide to play man to man? If he can do that, then I think we have a chance to win.
All right. You saw a bunch of crazy stuff happen in the NFL yesterday with the kickers. These kickers, man, they're attempting 68-yard field goals anymore.
Hey, man, as soon as you get close to that half field, as soon as you get close to the 50-yard line, they're saying kick them. And why not? They were able to do it down there. The Tucker down there in Baltimore, I think they were out in Detroit, won that kick, won with the kick. I mean, listen, these guys have legs now. The kid in at Penn State.
Yeah, you were enamored with that kid. He kicked it in the stands.
Yeah.
On the kickoff.
That's what kickers are doing now, man. They got stronger legs, bigger straps, faster, stronger. That's what it's all about.
All right, so finally, your prediction tonight.
I think it's going to be a tough game, man. I certainly believe coming into the season that the Eagles will split home and away in our division. So because we're on the road, I think Dallas has the advantage here, even though they're banged up the same way that we're banged up. So I'm going to go Cowboys 24-17.
All right. Sounds good. Brian, always a pleasure, man. Good hanging with you.
Sounds good.
Talk to you. There he is, Brian Westbrook.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.